Let's see if you can hear me today.
Hear you?
Are you up there, Aaron?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, yay. Hi, BP. Hi, Bam Bam. I know I was having issues last night, and then there's some big geometric storm happening, so I wasn't sure. Why is it I'm typing B P and it's typing C O? Holy hell, let's see. Good grief. Oh, no problem, but I'm gonna say hi to you anyway. Drive safely, Bam Bam. Good morning, Bam Bam. Good morning, Lori. Good morning, family. Three, two, one. Alrighty. Don't type back. I'm saying hi to you just because it's a habit. All right. Where's my paper? Let's turn this music down a little bit. God, it's all the way down, but I'll turn it down just a little bit more. All right. Today is Friday, May 10th. It seems like forever, right? I am your host, Dina Joe, with my sidekick today, Aaron, coming to you live from the DJ Pebbles studio. Well, I'm in the studio, Aaron's in the kitchen. I'm located in the Mile High City, colorful Colorado, rainy. It's been kind of gloomy the last couple days. Welcome to the program. So grateful to have you with us today. I'm not sure where that sound just came from. We're going to turn it down. That's Aaron's music. It shouldn't be on yet. If you're listening to this later, thank you so much. I appreciate you listening and downloading. I am here every right now, Friday, 7:45 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. I do come on Thursdays with my co-host at that time, Tuttles, Bam Bam, as you would know him. We do connecting through movies and their soundtracks. It's part of this podcast because I play the music the next day from this documentary that we watched or the movie that we watched. Although today is going to be a little different. But anyway, let's go. More, do we have the word of the day? Aaron's here with sports. And then, like I said, the music. The documentary we watched last night was Sex Pistols in Their Own Words. So I'm not going to play all Sex Pistols music just because last week we had a few Sex Pistols. I'll have a few in there, but it'll be a bunch of different punk kind of considered in that genre. Hi, Mike. Good morning. So, you know, I like to start the day with the word of the day. I'm going to do the word and the quote, and then I have a... Oh, shoot. I knew I was forgetting something. Let me pull it up real quick. I'm like, what am I forgetting? Now I know what I'm forgetting. So the word of the day is vulnerable. And to be vulnerable is to be in a state of emotional closure. It comes with a degree of uncertainty. What is playing right now? I was hearing it in the background. I don't know if you heard that. This involves being willing to accept the possibility of being hurt and the risk that comes with being open with others and yourself. So to share your weakness is to make yourself vulnerable. To make yourself vulnerable is to show your strength. And that is the quote that I have for you. So vulnerability, oh, isn't it great? You know, putting yourself out there, it isn't the most comfortable feeling. Your heart races sometimes. Sometimes it drops to the bottom of your stomach. We expose ourselves by having the courage to stand up, to speak up, to be the person we should be. But it also puts us in a space of possibly getting hurt. So now, let me see if I can find what I'm looking for. Where are you, Brene Brown? There she is, Brene Brown. Here it is. I'm going to turn this music down. And I'm going to turn this on. Turn off music. Gosh, it wouldn't turn off.
Everywhere, and something I wasn't used to. Marching orders from my therapist and my husband were, do not read the comments online. So I read all the comments online. And so one morning, I woke up, and there were two or three new articles out, and I started reading the comments. And they were devastating. They weren't about my work. They were about me. They were super personal. And they were the things that creative people play in their mind and then give up doing what they really want to do. Like, if I asked every single one of you, what would you try if you knew people would never say this about you? What would this be? Those were the
comments. Good morning, Andrew.
Less research, more Botox. Just mean personal attacks, the things that really, up until that moment, had inspired me to stay very small in my life and my career, just so I could avoid those things. So that morning, Steve and the kids leave. I stay home. I get on the couch, and I watch 8 hours of Downton Abbey. And when it's over, I don't want to turn off Downton Abbey. Because the minute you turn off Downton Abbey, then it's like soccer practice and dinner and back to the mean people. And maybe, should I get Botox? And maybe, you know, maybe if I stand still when I talk. So I get out my laptop and I do a search for who was president of the United States during the Downton Abbey era. So I put it in and Theodore Roosevelt comes up and a quote comes up. And I read it, and this is what it says. It's a quote from a speech that he gave in the early 1900s at the Sorbonne, and a lot of people call it the Man in the Arena speech.
And it's a good speech.
It changes my life. It's not the critic who counts. It's not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done it better. The credit belongs to the person who's actually in the arena, whose face is marred with blood and sweat and dust, who, at the best, in the end, knows the triumph of high achievement, and who at worst, if he fails, he fails daring greatly. So the moment that I read that, I closed my laptop, and this is what shifted in me. Three huge things. First, I spent the last 12 years studying vulnerability, and that quote was everything I know about vulnerability. It is not about winning, it's not about losing, it's about showing up and being seen. The second thing, this is who I want to be. I want to create. I want to make things that didn't exist before I touched them. I want to show up and be seen in my work and in my life. And if you're going to show up and be seen, there is only one guarantee, and that is you will get your ass kicked. That's the only certainty you have. If you're going to go in the arena and spend any time in there whatsoever, especially if you've committed to creating in your life, you will get your ass kicked. So you have to decide at that moment, I think for all of us, if courage is a value that we hold, this is a consequence. You can't avoid it. The third thing, which really set me free,
so true.
I think Steve, my husband, would argue has made me somewhat dangerous, is kind of a new philosophy about criticism, which is this. If you're not in the arena also getting your ass kicked, I'm not interested in your feedback.
Bam!
We numb vulnerability. When we're waiting for the call, when we're trying to think about if we're going to, you know, it was funny. I guess Wednesday, I sent something out on Twitter and on Facebook that says, how would you define vulnerability? What makes you feel vulnerable? And within an hour and a half, I had 150 responses. Because I wanted to know, you know, what's out there? Having to ask my husband for help because I'm sick and we're newly married. Initiating sex with my husband. Initiating sex with my wife. Being turned down. Asking someone out. Waiting for the doctor to call back, getting laid off, laying off people. This is the world we live in. We live in a vulnerable world. And one of the ways we deal with it is we numb vulnerability. And I think there's evidence, and it's not the only reason this evidence exists, but I think that it's a huge cause. We are the most in debt, obese, addicted, and medicated adult cohort in US history. The problem is, and I learned this from the research, that you cannot selectively numb.
Welcome, V-U-E-J-J-F-C-Y.
Here's the bad stuff. Here's vulnerability, here's grief, here's shame, here's fear, here's disappointment. I don't wanna feel these. I'm gonna have a couple of beers and a banana nut muffin. I don't wanna feel these. You can't numb those hard feelings without numbing the other affects or emotions. You cannot selectively numb. So when we numb those, we numb joy, we numb gratitude, we numb happiness, and then we are miserable and we are looking for purpose and meaning, and then we feel vulnerable. So then we have a couple of beers and a banana nut muffin, and it becomes this dangerous cycle. One of the things that I think that we need to think about is why and how we numb. And it doesn't just have to be addiction. The other thing we do is we make everything that's uncertain. Religion has gone from a belief in faith and mystery to certainty. I'm right, you're wrong, shut up. That's it, just certain. The more afraid we are, the more vulnerable we are, the more afraid we are. This is what politics looks like today. There's no discourse anymore. There's no conversation. There's just blame. You know how blame is described in the research? A way to discharge pain and discomfort. We perfect. Now let me tell you, if there's anyone who wants their life to look like this, it would be me. But it doesn't work, because what we do is we take fat from our butts and put it in our cheeks, which just, I hope in 100 years, people will look back and go, wow. And we perfect.
Thank you, Andrew.
Our children. Let me tell you what we think about. Let me think very quickly about children. They're hardwired for struggle when they get here. When you hold those perfect little babies in your hand, our job is not to say, look at them, look at her, she's perfect. My job is just to keep her perfect, make sure she makes the tennis team by fifth grade and Yale by seventh grade. Our job, that's not our job. Our job is to look and say, you know what?
Hi, Spanky.
And you're wired for struggle, but you are worthy of love and belonging. That's our job. Show me a generation of kids raised like that and we'll end the problems I think that we see today. We pretend that what we do doesn't have an effect on people.
So good to see
you.
We
do that in our personal lives. We do that corporate, whether it's a bailout, an oil spill, a recall. We pretend like what we're doing doesn't have a huge impact on other people. You know, I would say to companies, this is not our first rodeo, people. We just need you to be authentic and real and say, we're sorry, we'll fix it. But there's another way, and I'll leave you with this. This is what I have found. To let ourselves be seen, deeply seen, vulnerably seen. To love with our whole hearts, even though there's no guarantee. And that's really hard. I can tell you as a parent, that's excruciatingly difficult. To practice gratitude and joy in those moments of kind of terror when we're wondering, can I love you this much? Can I believe in this as passionately? Can I be this fierce about this? Just to be able to stop and instead of catastrophizing what might happen to say, I'm just so grateful, because to feel this vulnerable means I'm alive. And the last, which I think is probably the most important, is to believe that we're enough. Because when we work from a place, I believe, that says I'm enough, then we stop screaming and start listening. We're kinder and gentler to the people around us, and we're kinder and gentler to ourselves. That's all I have. Talk what I do.
All right. So remember, the greatest gift of all, to be vulnerable, to allow others to see us as we are, for whatever that is. You are who you are, to help others through the world. Don't hold that back. Don't feel like you're less than because of this or that. Don't ever let anybody tell you you're not. So anyway, vulnerability, that's what I have for you today. So we're going to move on with a couple more things, and then we're going to get with Aaron and sports. I guess today is like the biggest, what is it? The geometric storm, the severe geometric storm. May hit Earth today, it says. So if your power goes out, the power grid, they said GPS might take you to another place where you're not supposed to go to, blah, blah, blah. And then on top of it, they're saying that you could see the northern lights in certain areas. Even they said auroras could be visible as far as Alabama. Oh my gosh, I think that would be the coolest thing to see. I've never seen it before. I know my family out there in Canada gets to see it a lot. And I think, oh my gosh, I think that would be, I'm going to put that on a bucket list sometime, because I think I would just love to be able to see that. I don't know if anybody in the chat, besides, I know Bam Bam can't, he's driving, but yeah, the Northern Lights, pretty cool. I think that's cool. I'm going to call my granddaughter's mom and say, hey, look for the Northern Lights tonight and see if you can take pictures if you see it or not. All right, let me turn up your mic, Aaron. And well, it is up. How are you doing, Aaron?
I'm doing pretty well. How about yourself?
Good. Sounds like the opening to Maximum Overdrive, the movie. Oh my gosh, I don't know what that is, but I'll look it up. I'm doing well.
Mad Max Fury Road movie franchise or whatever.
No, but I've been seeing the commercials for that, and it totally reminds me of you too, Bam Bam. I totally forget when we talk, because he likes those movies. I like the first ones. I don't know. I never got into the ones after that. So I have no idea who's dead and who's alive. And it's some girl on the commercial who I've never seen before. So I have no clue. But there's a new movie coming out, Mad Max. All right, Aaron. Here's your list. I was going to say, what do you have for us today? You're going to start with Friday Night SmackDown?
Yeah, but I was also going to say, before I get to my sports stuff, there's been three songs I've been listening to like a lot recently, and that's She Drives Me Crazy by the Fine Young Cannibals. I think that's like an old song.
Yes, well, I think it's like an old song. Yeah, your mom grew up listening to that song.
I started listening to it after I went to Subway with Lewis like last week.
Yeah.
I heard it like in the subway or in the Walmart, they were playing it.
So she drives me crazy.
The other two are the new one from Kane Brown and Marshmallow, Miles on It.
Mm.
And then, of course, the one from the Imagine Dragons I've been listening to a lot lately is called Eyes Closed.
Oh, well, that is a good one. I have a new song that I want to play after your sports. And I've posted it on my social medias. And I don't know how long this guy's been around. His name, or he goes by Shaboozy. Shaboozy. And
never
the song
heard
is,
of him.
I've never heard of him either. And when I did hear about him, the person who was talking about him said, oh, it's a rap guy doing a country song. And the guy had no idea. He was a DJ, had no idea what he's talking about, because he's not a rap guy. He's actually a country artist singing a country song. So I'm going to play it later after you're done with your sports. I'm going to play it. So if you want to not hang up, then you can listen to it.
All right. So leading off with SmackDown, where it was in Lyon, France.
Oh, nice.
The Backlash took place. The team.
Oui, oui.
What?
I said, oui, oui.
Mm-hmm. The team of Bayley, Naomi, Jade Cargill, and Bianca Belair in an 8-woman tag team match defeated the team of Tiffany Stratton and Damage Control in what was the biggest tag team match I've ever seen since WrestleMania.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a lot, yeah.
It was intense?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Also in tag team action, tag team A-Town Down Under retained their WWE tag team titles against the Street Profits.
Oh, nice.
Authors of Pain would be victorious in tag team action against the new Catch Republic.
You said the new Catch Republic? Are they a new team? Mm-hmm. Are they new?
Like a new tag team recently.
Okay.
And lastly, LA Knight defeated Angel of Legado Del Fantasma before Backlash. LA Knight also declared for the King of the Ring tournament and announced after his match against Angel.
I'm sorry, he won the King of the Ring?
No, he announced that he was going to be in the King of the Ring tournament.
Okay, gotcha.
For Backlash, pick'em-wise, I got 4 out of 6 correct, including Cody Rhodes defending his undisputed Universal title against AJ Styles.
Oh, that's pretty good. 4 out of 6. Yeah,
4 out of 6. Bayley would defend her WWE Women's title in a triple threat match against Naomi and Tiffany Stratton. And Damian Priest did the same against Jey Uso for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Nice.
Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill became the new Women's Tag Team Champions after defeating the former champs, the Kabuki Warriors. And the Bloodline would defeat Kevin Owens and Randy Orton in the first tag team match to kick off Backlash in Lyon, France.
Nice. All right, I'm trying to look at some of these girls here that you're talking about. Okay. Go on. Is that all of the Friday Night SmackDown?
Well, I have more WWE news. The WWE also announced that WrestleMania 41 will be in Las Vegas in April
2025. Nice. Love the ring announcer.
So for Monday Night Raw, the king and the queen of the tournament began with the first round action where Jey Uso advanced over Finn Balor. Ilya Dragunov defeated Ricochet.
Poor Finn Balor. Wait a minute. Let's go back to Finn Balor for a minute here. He hasn't won anything for a while, right?
No, he was undisputed tag team champions with Damian Priest for a while.
Okay, but not by himself. It seems like every time he's in there by himself, he doesn't. I like him, though. Yeah. He's my bad guy. I like him. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
On the women's side of the tournament, Io Sky defeated Natalia. Zoe Stark defeating Ivy Nile, and Lara Valkyra defeating Dakota Kai to also advance to the quarterfinals of the Queen of the Ring tournament.
Dang, it just seems like there's all kinds of new names when you say these.
Yeah, because these are some of the new names are from NXT that got drafted.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. I'm like, am I that bad at paying attention to you? I try to pay attention to you. I know those names, but those are a lot of new names. Okay, so that's why. So who, so you keep saying the king and the queen.
And the finals, I believe, are going to be in Saudi Arabia later this month.
Oh, nice. All right. Mm-hmm. Now, I remember the last time they were going to Saudi Arabia or Dubai or somewhere, there was an issue with them flying there or something. I thought there was. Anyway, go ahead.
In the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Dallas Stars won Game 7 versus Vegas 2-1 after losing Game 6 2-0 to face Colorado in the second round.
Yeah, I won't say what happened last night. Go ahead.
Yeah. Also, Boston won their Game 7 against Toronto 2-1 to then take Game 1 against the Florida Panthers 5-1 in the second round. So did the New York Rangers defeating the Carolina Hurricanes in Game 1, 4-3. Vancouver would also advance to the second round in 6 games, defeating Nashville 1-0 in Game 6 to face the Oilers in the second round.
Okay.
Yeah, and of course, I was trying to do my best to stay up to watch the Avs game last night, and it was not getting good early because the Avalanche were just committing just like
fouls or
penalties like that were totally uncalled for.
Sorry, like fouls are in wrong. That's the wrong sports is a foul. It's a penalty in hockey.
Penalties are in like football, like a flag, but in hockey, there is penalties, but you get you sit in the penalty box for a certain amount of time.
Right. I like it when half of the team is in the penalty box. I've seen that before.
only just one person. So the first
I've seen it before when there was just two goalies out there. It was so bad that the teams were both in the penalty box. And there was just two goalies out there. But the Avs, I heard they were doing really bad, and then towards the end they almost tied it. But they still lost.
Yeah, they lost. I think they lost by 2. They lost 5-3. So the series is tied 1-1 against Dallas, coming back here for games 3 and 4. But okay. I have high hopes because I heard the Avalanche have got a good record at home this season. So,
well, let's hope.
Yeah, let's hope we can take some games here at home. Because this was the Dallas Stars team we were trying to chase down for the division crown, but we couldn't catch them.
They're not good, huh?
Yep.
Well, all right. Well, fingers crossed. When is the next one, you said?
I was going to say about the hockey game, the first penalty that the Avalanche got called on was too many men on the ice.
Oh, okay.
So apparently you can only have 5-on-5 on.
Welcome back, Andrew.
Like on each side of the, for each team, but you can't have like 6 people on one team on the ice.
Well, okay. That makes sense.
Like, yeah, that's equivalent to like in the, I was talking to Lewis about this because it was equivalent to that one penalty in football, like American football, where it's called too many men on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's like a certain penalty for that because in football you're only allowed to have 11 people on the field, not 12.
Yeah, it's a disadvantage to the other team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
all right.
With the Kentucky Derby, the horse Mystic Dan came in first, winning $3.1 million.
Mystic
Sierra Leone.
Okay, Mystic.
In second, winning $1 million, and Forever Young winning $500,000 and finishing third.
Wow. And you said that there was a horse in the race that was from Colorado, right?
Yeah, the horse was called West Saratoga.
Nice. Okay. Do you know where it finished?
I think they finished outside the top 10.
Okay. Well, at least it was in the Kentucky Derby. It was good enough to get that far, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
Also, the name of the horse that won the Kentucky Derby the year I was born was named Sea Hero.
Sea Hero. Nice.
Back in 1993, yeah.
Now, I'm trying to, I don't think you know this. I thought that I know that there's a movie about a horse, a famous movie about a horse and horse racing, and I swear it's Sea something. It's back in the olden days as, oh yeah, there you go. You do know it. Back in the olden days, like the Fine Young Cannibals, it was back then. Seabiscuit. Yep. That's the one. Anyway, I didn't think you would know that, but you do. All right. NBA playoffs.
Our Nuggets lost both games 1 and 2 in the second round to the Timberwolves 106-99 in game 1 and 106-80 in game 2.
Not good. And it was at home, wasn't it?
Game 3 is tonight in Minnesota, so.
Yeah, but were the two they lost at home or just one of them?
It was both at home.
That's not good.
No. Mm-mm. The Knicks won game 1 of their series against the Pacers 121-117. They also won game 2, 130-121, and that was probably one of the best playoff games I've seen so far this year. It was pretty good.
Why was it so good?
Like, the whole crowd in New York City was going nuts because, like, I know New York because they're passionate about their teams in New York. And
just was an exciting game.
Yeah, it was just an exciting game from beginning to finish. Yeah, it was a good game.
Mm. Nice.
Yep. Magic would force game 7 in their first round against the Cleveland Cavaliers 103-96 before losing game 7 106-94. Cavs would advance to the second round to the conference semifinals to face the Boston Celtics.
All right. So, are the Nuggets playing this weekend?
Yeah, so they're playing tonight against Minnesota.
Okay.
Last night, the Cavs were playing Boston in game 2, and I believe Cleveland won that game to tie up the series. Yeah, they did. They won 118-94 in game 2. And then the Mavericks actually beat the top-seeded Thunder last night, 119-110 in game 2 of that series last night.
Perfect. So now are you moving on to the MLB?
Yep, this is the only baseball game I caught during the week. So in MLB baseball, in the Sunday night matchup, the Phillies beat the San Francisco Giants 5-4 thanks to Bryce Harper's 3-run home run in the third inning that put the Phillies up 4-1 before adding another run to lead 5-1 before the third inning came to an end.
Ooh, should I even ask? How the Rockies doing?
They're still in last place in the division.
Last? They're just last?
Yeah, they're last in the division.
Oh my god, that's terrible. They've won 10 games yet.
Yeah, it's pretty,
oh my gosh.
Pretty bad, yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's terrible.
I wonder if anybody from the country book club will be like, you want some Rockies tickets? Oh my gosh. Dang.
Football league. My Birmingham Stallions defeated the Memphis Showboats 39-21 and clinched a playoff spot for the postseason in the UFL.
All right. Awesome.
They're going to be playing against the St. Louis Battlehawks this weekend. And I heard it's supposed to be a really good game because my Birmingham Stallions are undefeated. And I think St. Louis is either 4-1 or 5-1 so far this season. So it's supposed to be a good matchup between the two teams with the best records in the UFL right now.
Action field, huh? That'll be good.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of St. Louis, the St. Louis Battlehawks defended home turf, beating the Houston Roughnecks 22-6.
Woohoo!
And to conclude week 6, San Antonio defeated D.C. 18-12, and Michigan won on a last-second field goal against Arlington 28-27.
That was the United Football League.
Yep, and there's like 3 weeks left in the season, so the playoffs are like fast approaching.
That was quick, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. All right, what happened in the NHL draft lottery?
Okay, so in the NHL draft lottery, the San Jose Sharks ended up with the number one pick for this year's draft. Chicago will pick second. Anaheim will have the third pick, followed by Columbus, Montreal, and the new Utah Hockey Club.
Now, does their lottery work like the other sports? Well, some of the other sports, yeah, the worst team gets to pick first?
Well, in the NFL draft, if you have the worst record, like overall,
right,
you just get the number one pick, like automatically.
Is that the same in the NHL? Is what I'm asking. Do they do the same thing?
No, like the teams that didn't qualify for the playoffs. It's kind of like the same in the NBA draft lottery. Like these teams get like a number, like a 3-digit number code or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they have like this ping pong, like they have a ping pong machine to determine the draft order.
Okay.
Yeah. So the NHL draft lottery and the NBA draft lottery are like
picked
that.
From a...
The NFL draft is like, if you have the worst record all season, you just get the number one pick automatically.
Okay. I'm glad I asked, because that's how I thought this worked too. So they don't, they have that little ball that picks up and.
Yeah. Like a ping, the.
Like when they're playing bingo and the little balls are flying around in the thing, and then are the lottery and the balls come out with the numbers.
BP put in the chat, the Rockies have 9 wins and 28 losses.
Oh. That's terrible. Thank you, BP. Really, you're so awesome. That is just terrible. It's kind of like, I don't know. Like, have they just given up? Completely just given up? Kind of feels like that.
I know, I've said this a million times before.
The owner
just doesn't care. Like, they just don't care. Like, they need just to get rid of the owner. The
well, they GM care about money. And,
like, yeah, well, yeah, and just put somebody in there that cares about the team and wants to see them win.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you. All right. So we're going to move on from the NHL draft to you. Well, it looks like it's scribbled out. You have NBA playoffs, but it's kind of scribbled out. You already went over that, didn't you?
Oh, that was like a writing mistake.
Okay, that's okay. Stanley Cup playoffs?
Yep. So, of course, our Avalanche lost game 2 yesterday, 5-3.
Mm-hmm.
But the New York Rangers are one game. I think they won game 3 of their series against they won the game 3 against the Carolina Hurricanes 3-2 in overtime. So they lead. So the New York Rangers lead that series 3-0. Like I said, for the Avalanche, that series now tied at 1. Then the Panthers won game 2 over the Bruins 6-1. And then the Canucks defeated the Oilers in game 1 5-4.
All right. And New York's, I can't remember what their name is. What's the New York hockey team?
Well, New York has two hockey teams. One is the New York Rangers.
The Rangers.
And the other team is the New York Islanders.
Now, the Rangers, they've always been kind of a good team, haven't they?
Yeah, I would say they've been a pretty good hockey team.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've always remembered them to be, pretty good.
I remember I've seen like clips of them when they won the last Stanley Cup.
Hi, Elbow Talon.
Avalanche, the last time they won the Stanley Cup was about a few years ago, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 2022 when they won it.
Yeah, because we missed out that one time we went to that country music concert and we left early because you weren't feeling well. Mm-hmm. Well, we didn't leave that. I mean, we didn't stay the whole time, but towards the end, the Avs came out with the Stanley Cup.
Right. I mean, also, I still remember because I was recovering from COVID when that happened. When they had the Stanley Cup, too.
Yeah. I thought you meant when we worked that concert. I'm like,
honestly, like when the Avalanche won the Stanley Cup in 2022, then our Nuggets winning the championship the next year, I really wanted to skip out on work and go see the victory parade downtown.
Yeah, they're now, you know what I hate to say? That would be really fun, but I hate to say it right now that it's gotten so bad in downtown Denver. It's just not safe. It's honestly just not safe to go downtown Denver anymore. And it's pretty sad to say that, you know, that to even when we went and did the lung walk and we went to Coors Field, Lewis was a little nervous about us going down there. He just, because it's just not safe down there anymore. It's pretty sad. All right. I have a joke for you. You're done, right?
Yep. I'm all done.
All right. Thank you, Aaron. Appreciate you. It's not clapping, but it's supposed to be. Oh, there it goes. It's on delay. Thank you, Aaron. I have a joke for you. And then I'm going to play that new song. If you want to hear that new song I was talking to you about. All right, what can be served but not eaten?
Is this a riddle?
Well, I came under a joke, but I guess it's more what can be served and not eaten. A tennis ball. It can be served. Bam.
Okay, but I was thinking that joke was more of a riddle though. Be served but not eaten.
Okay, you get over that part. Paperwork too. That's good.
That sounded more like a riddle, though.
Oh dear God, he doesn't give me anything, you guys. I just wanna. Ooh, yeah. All right. Here's the song I was talking to you about. Let me make sure that this is pulled up. I think this is gonna be the next hit, you guys. I'm telling you. His name is Shabuze. Shabuze, and the song is called A Bar Song, Tipsy. Here it is.
Really? Stop. Right now.
My baby on a birthday. She's been telling me all night long. Gasoline and groceries. But it's gone as long and long. It's 9 to 5 and you're working. Why the hell do I work so hard? I can't worry about my problems.
I can't come when you're gone. 1, here comes 2, 3, 4. Tell him bring another round, penny nine more.
Stepping on the table, she don't need a dance floor.
Oh my good lord.
Someone pour me up a double shot of whiskey. They don't need Jack Daniels, got a history. There's a party downtown near 50. Everybody at the bar,
being
tipsy. I've been boozy since I lived. I ain't changing for a shit. Tell my mama
to
drink it.
Oh,
Lord. I'm gonna drink it till the end. We gon' do this shit again. Tell your girl to bring a friend. Oh, Lord.
Why? Here comes the 2, 3, 4. Tell him bring him round and round,
we need 30 more. Stop and join the table, she don't need a dance floor.
Oh my
good
Shabuze, shabuze, a bar song, tipsy. It kept going. Why is there? There is something in that. There's always something in this DJ Pebble studio that seems to be going wacky, but it's not. It seems to be going a little more wacky today. I don't know what happened to Aaron. He just totally dropped off. I thought he was going to stick around. All right, that's shabuze. Like I said. We're going to move on to the playlist that I have. And I had songs from last week that we didn't finish. And then just some more of the new, I guess, 80s, late 70s, early 80s of punk music. Last night, Bam Bam and I watched the music documentary the Sex Pistols. We wanted to watch the Great Rock and Roll Swindle, but for some reason, the movie documentary disappeared off of YouTube. It had all the playlists, but it didn't have the movie. So we ended up watching the Sex Pistols in their own words, and it was the original bass player who was in it, some guy named John Robb, R-O-B-B, and I need to look him up and see who he is, because his face, if you were to see him, I was like, I know that guy. He's in a band, and it said like producer and band member, but it didn't say what band he was in that was talking, and it was very interesting, again, about they weren't really around that long, but they were able to make a name for themselves, sometimes in the good way and a lot of times in the bad, especially when Sid Vicious came in. Hi, Queen Bella. How are you? It's good to see you. Thanks for checking in on me. I'm thank you. I really appreciate that. But Sid Vicious, I think, kind of gave him more of a bad name. And that's when Johnny Rotten was trying to leave the Sex Pistols and get away from that. And also, I believe it was their manager who was doing a lot of sneaky stuff too. So anyway, it was very interesting. I love anything about music in all genres. And we were talking about that last night. We're going to continue just with the Sex Pistols next week, watching one just on Sid Vicious, about him and the Nancy Girl, and what happened with them. Let me see. I know I had it written down what it was called. It was like 24 hours. Let me see. Shoot. I thought it was in here. Oh yeah, here it goes. Sid Vicious, The Final 24 Hours, full documentary. And that is also, it's free on YouTube. So we're going to watch that. And then, Bam Bam is going to put together a music for next Friday. So that'll be coming up on Thursday. So let's start with the music. I think I'm going to do those later if we have more time. So the first one I'm going to start off with is Lonely Boy by the Sex Pistols. It's off the album, The Great Rock and Roll Swindle. And if anybody doesn't know, this is kind of important.
information. I had no idea about the Great Rock and Roll Swindle. It says, where is it? By the time the soundtrack was being prepared, Johnny Rotten, or Johnny Lydon, had left the band and refused to participate in the project. Manager Malcolm McLaren was left with a major problem. How do you sell a double LP soundtrack with no songs featuring the Sex Pistols' dynamic original vocalist? Desperate for a workaround, McLaren discovered in October 1976 rehearsal session by the original lineup. In an effort to keep up with their chops, the band would rehearse downtown, in the downtime at Wessex Studios while attempting to record Anarchy in the UK, single for EMI. Goodman, the producer at that time, secretly taped them. The band ran through some cover songs, many of which were staples in the early Sex Pistols shows, along with a few more obscure tracks. Unfortunately, the recordings were very raw, and being simple four-track recordings, it was not suitable for commercial release. So McLaren then decided to take Johnny Lydon's vocal tracks along with Glenn Matlock, and that he was the bass player, and he was the one that was doing a lot of the talking last night in the documentary, the original bass track, and combine them with newly recorded guitar and drum tracks performed by Steve Jones and Paul Cook. McLaren suddenly had a new Sex Pistols material suitable for release and performed exclusively by the original lineup. What a slimeball that he was able to do that, you know, because Johnny Lydon didn't want to have anything to do with it. Better still, fans of the band had never heard these recordings. This tactic also gave the impression that the original band was still together. McLaren used this confusion and a new material to market and promote not only the movie soundtrack, but the film itself. The original rehearsal recording, without the newly recorded overdub tracks, eventually appeared in its entirety on the Sex Pistols box set released in Virgin Records in 2002. The double album features a significant number of tracks that omit Lydon entirely, most of them written, recorded after he had left the band. This includes Sid Vicious singing cover songs, two new original Silly Things, and Lonely Boy. And that is the one we are going to play, Lonely Boy, and it's sung by Jones. So here it is, Lonely Boy, Sex Pistols. Welcome, XUEXIFUVDDWGB. Welcome back, back. Oh, really? That's what you see? It's that geometric force that's going on, I guess. I don't know. Oh,
You be my interpreter, Mike. All right, that is the Lonely Boy. That is Lonely Boy by the Sex Pistols off the album, The Great Rock and Roll Swindle. All right, now we're going to move on to the Dead Kennedys, and that's really going to wake you up. The Dead, no, wait a minute. Wait, why do I have the Dead Kennedys on here? Not the Dead Kennedys, the Circle Jerks. Sorry, Dead Kennedys will come up later. Circle Jerks, Wild in the Streets is the song. Originally by Garland Jeffries, the album features three cover songs like this one, Just Like Me, originally performed by Paul Revere and the Raiders, Put a Little Love in Your Heart, originally performed by Jackie DeShannon. So a lot of covers on this album. A 40th anniversary edition came out in 2022 with a 20-page booklet featuring the album's history by LA music writer Chris Morris. There wasn't a whole lot about the song, why the Circle Jerks did it. So we're just going to play a little bit of it. Wild in the Streets, Circle Jerks. See, I can see Bam Bam in the mosh pit. Bam, bam, bam. AKWSU, welcome. Hi, Alpia, welcome. Mike would be in the mosh pit with all the cats. That's the Circle Jerks with Wild in the Streets. Off the album, Wild in the Streets. All right, we're going to move on to the next loud song. Whew. All right, it is Bad Religion. And the song is Los Angeles is Burning. And before I read about what the song was about, I actually thought it was about all the fires in California, because that's where I grew up, and there was always fires in California, it seemed like. But according to the bassist, Jay, the lyrics argue that the media is sensationalistic. So that's what it's about. The music video features men with television cameras replacing their heads, firing flames into the animated landscape of Los Angeles. Although the song was written at the time when there was major wildfires nearby, and the late 2003 Cedar Fire, Bentley makes it clear that the song was using fire only as a metaphor. So here it is, Los Angeles is Burning.
Los Angeles on fire.
Ah, tell him I grew up in California. Ask him if he likes it there. You know, I don't know. When you listen to the words of the song, it sounds like the Santa Ana winds and fire and blah, blah, blah. It sounds like the fires that you're used to when you grew, well, when I grew up in California, because they happen so often. It doesn't sound like anything that has to do with the media. So I don't know what the true story is about that song, but Bad Religion, Los Angeles is Burning, off the album, The Empire Strikes Back. First, 2003. All right, we're gonna move on to a little Ball and Chain. I think you guys will know this song, Social Distortion. Again, there wasn't a whole lot about this. It was written by Mike Ness in 1987. It is featured on their self-titled album that was released in 1990. It was recorded in 1989, as well as on their Live at the Roxy in 1998. In the words of Ness, Ball and Chain is a hard luck story, a forceful cry, a lament, a plea, a folk prayer. The music video is directed by Tony Vandell Indy and edited by Scott C. Wilson. Here it is, Ball and Chain, Social Distortion.
Oh, I hate when that happens. Oh, holy hell. Oh,
it's not on here. Hold on. Oh, no, there it is. Yay. Okay. It's just out of order. Yes. Hey, NAST Radio, welcome! You're very welcome. Oh, thank you. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Take away this ball and chain. That is Social Distortion, Ball and Chain, off the album Social Distortion, 1989. All right, we're going to move on to the next song on the list. Johnny B. Goode, Sex Pistols. I already told you a little bit of history about the album, The Great Rock and Roll Swindle. Let's see what this is. In January of 1978, at the final gig of a difficult and media hype tour in the U.S., Johnny Rotten announced the band's breakup live on stage. Over the next few months, the three remaining members recorded songs for McLaren's film, The Sex Pistols Story, The Great Rock and Roll Swindle. Vicious died of a heroin overdose in February of 1979, following his arrest for the alleged murder of his girlfriend, Nancy Spungen? I think it's missing an R, but Nancy. Rotten, Jonesing, and Cook and Matlock later reunited for a successful tour in 1996. Further one off performance and short tours followed over the next decade. The Sex Pistols have been recognized as a highly influential band. In 2006, they were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Although true to their image, they refused to attend the ceremony, with Rotten refusing to museum as a piss stain. So here it is, Johnny B. Goode, the Sex Pistols. That's not me. Yeah, you can totally tell that it's not Johnny Rotten singing this song for sure. For sure. Is he even singing? Johnny B. Goode, the Sex Pistols, off the album, The Great Rock and Roll Swindle. Crazy. All right, we're going to move on. All right, Lust for Life, Iggy Pop. This song is about Iggy Pop's lifestyle as a hard-living heroin addict. That must have been the drug of that time, I guess, because that's, you know, what Sid Vicious died of, too. That was the thing. And was it, I'm thinking that was the thing that Janis Joplin died of too, was a heroin overdose. All right. So this song is about his lifestyle, hard living heroin addict. The title is taken from the 1956 film of the same name, which itself is an adaptation of Irving Stone's 1934 biographical novel about a Dutch painter, Vincent van Gogh. Was he also a heroin addict? It doesn't say that, but I'm just wondering. The song makes several references to Johnny Yen, a character in American writer's William S. Burroughs' 1962 novel, The Ticket That Exploded. Reference to the novel also account for the lyrical preoccupation with striptease, drugs, and hip... This one they didn't get. Hypnotizing chickens? This was the novel, The Ticket That Exploded. Hypnotizing chickens. That's what it says, I swear. Lust for Life, Iggy Pop. Here it is. Why would they hypnotize chickens. Yeah, that book is weird. I just looked it up. We're gonna dance like hypnotizing chickens. That is Lust for Life, Iggy Pop, off the album Lust for Life, 1977. Yeah, it says about that book, The Ticket That Exploded. It says that the novel is a tale concerning mind control by psychic, electronic, sexual, pharmaceutical, subliminal, and other means. So, strange. All right, we're going to move on to Wild Thing. Done by the punk band X from Los Angeles, if you've never heard of them before. Let's learn. I thought I put a little information about them. Let's see. X was founded by bassist singer Doe. His first name is John Doe, and guitarist Zoom. Doe brought his poetry writing girlfriend, Servinka, to band practice, and she eventually joined the band as the vocalist. Doe and Servinka co-wrote most of the group's songs, and their slightly off-kiltered harmonies, vocals served as the group's most distinctive elements. Much of X's early materials have a rockabilly edge. X has continued to perform frequently around North America. So here is their take on Wild Thing. X. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. The album Devil Doll. All right, we're gonna move on to the next song that we have. I told you Dead Kennedys would be coming up, and their rendition of Viva Las Vegas. The Dead Kennedys formed in June of 1978 in San Francisco, California, when East Bay Ray, his stage name, of course, his real name is Raymond Pepperell, advertised for bandmates in a newspaper recycler after seeing a ska punk show at the Mabua Gardens in San Francisco. Don Kennedy's lyrics were usually political in nature, satiring political figures and authorities in general, as well as popular culture and even the punk movement itself. During their initial incarnation between 1978 and 1986, they attracted considerable controversy for their They attracted considerable controversy for their lyrics and artwork. Several stores refused to stock their recordings because of what they were saying, censorship in rock and roll music, and the covers of their albums. It says in the mid 1980s, vocalist and primary lyricist Jello Barfea. Now it doesn't say if that's his real name or not. Like if the other ones, they have their real names in parentheses. This guy, it just says Jello Barfea, became an active campaigner against the Parents Musical Resource Center, the PMRC. This culminated in obscenity trial between 1985 and 1986, which resulted in a hung jury and also hastened the band's demise. All right, here we go. Viva Las Vegas. A lot of words for me this early in the morning. Viva Las Vegas, the Dead Kennedys. This one, the lyrics shouldn't be that bad because it's just a remake. I totally remember this one growing up. Welcome, PBG4E7AA8I Raymond. Viva Las Vegas by the Dead Kennedys off their album Fresh Fruit for Rotting Vegetables. There's a lot of remakes on this playlist this morning because here is another one. And I don't know if I like this remake or not.
but I'm going to play it for you. 99 Red Balloons. We all remember that one. This one is done by 7 Seconds is the name of the band. 7 Seconds was formed in 1980 by 2 sets of brothers, the Marvelli brothers, using the punk rock names of... The punk rock names. That's just too funny because Kevin Seconds, doesn't that sound punk rock? And Steve Youth, oh my gosh. And the Bargello brothers, who were known as Tom Munist and Dim Menace. Okay. Asked about the origins of the band's names in 1982 in an interview, Kevin Seconds said, I was ordering the Dills single, 198 seconds of Dills from POMB, P-O-M-B, and I wrote it on a desk in ink. It said 97 seconds. And then we saw the movie Day of the Jackal, or something of all of there is were, that doesn't make any sense, reference to the 7 seconds, and the Dills were like idols. So we were looking for a name, and we were looking for it at a racing book, and it said 7 seconds again. And we were like, F. U-C-K. It must be an omen. So we had to pick it. In short, intense name, 7 seconds. So they, because they kept seeing 7 seconds, that's how they came up with the name. So anyway, here is their rendition of 99 Balloons. Red Balloons. You and I in a little toy shop, buy a bag of balloons. With the money we've got, set them free at the break of dawn. To one by one, they will come. Thank you, Mike. I need that. I think just because I like the original. It's not bad, but I like the original. A little bit of 7 seconds, their rendition of 99 Red Balloons. First time I heard that, and or of the name of that band, I've never heard about them before. 7 seconds, and that was off the album Walk Together, Rock Together, 1985. All right, we're gonna move on. Johnny Thunder and the Heartbreaks. The song is Born to Lose. Thunder was born John Anthony Genzel in Queens, New York, known professionally as Johnny Thunders, was an American guitarist, singer, songwriter. He became prominent in the 70s as a member of the New York Dolls. They're in a lot of the beginning when we started watching documentaries about the punk music. The New York Dolls were a big start in all of that, and a lot of the members of the bands going to other punk rock bands and stuff. So he later played with the Heartbreakers and as a solo artist. Rumors surrounding Thunder's death. Thunder apparently died of a drug-related causes, but it has been speculated that it was the result of foul play. According to his autobiography, Lobotomy, Surviving the Ramones, D.D. Ramone took a call in New York City the next day from Steve Cassens, Thunder's rhythm guitar player. Ramone said, he told me that Johnny had gotten mixed up with some bastards who ripped
him off for his methadone supply. They had gone, they had been given him LSD and then murdered him. He had gotten a pretty large supply of methadone in England so he could travel and stay away from those creeps. But the drug dealers, thunders, imitators, and losers like that. Yeah, and it, and that just reminds me of when Bam Bam and I were talking last night in regards to Sid Vicious and his girlfriend when they were doing heroin, and he woke up and she was dead. He was talking to telling me, and this is the reason why we're going to watch the documentary about it, but he was telling me that what he has seen and heard was that that it was kind of the same thing. Like they were doing drugs and were passed out, and that supposedly it could have been that Nancy woke up and when they were being robbed. So kind of the same thing. It sounds like crazy again, just like the heroin being popular during that time. So here's Born to Lose by Johnny Thunder. And what's methadone? Is that like a heroin kind of thing too? I mean, I've heard of it, but... Hi, Jade Moon Raven. Haven't seen you in a while. Good to see your face. I hope that you're well. Aw, thank you. I'm trying to think of the New York Dolls singer. I just don't remember one of his personas. Buster Poindexter, that guy. He was the singer of the New York Dolls. But anyway, that was Born to Lose, Johnny Rotten and the Heartbreakers with Born to Lose. We're going to move on to the Dictators, see if we can get them in their song, California Sun. The band was formed in 1972 by Andy Chernoff, who was attending State University of New York at the New York Plaza. They recorded their debut album, The Dictators Girl Gone Crazy, which sold poorly at the time, but is now considered to be the starting point of American punk rock. In the 2006 book, The Heebie-Jeebies of CBGBs, Steve Beebe argued that this all-Jewish band was an early musical expression in rock music of the New York sarcasm and toughness found among this alienated population who significantly contributed to punk rock. So that is a little bit about the Dictators, California Sun. Here it is.
Okay.
thank you, BP. That's the guy. Oh, I don't remember that band, though. That is The Dictators, California Sun, off the album The Dictators, Girl Go Girl Crazy. It is a fun song. All right, well, that was the list today of some of the late 70s, early 80s punk music. I know that next week, we're on Thursday, we're going to be watching the Sid Vicious 24 Hours documentary that I mentioned earlier. So we'll have some more punk music next Friday. Bam Bam's going to put a list together for me. I appreciate you, Bam Bam. And I wanted to tell you that BP sent me who that John Robb is, that I kept saying, who is that guy? The guy that was had the mohawk in the documentary. His name is John David Robb. He first started off he formed the Membranes, and then they split up, and then he was in the band Goldblade, and then Polystyrene. So I don't remember them. I'd have to look them up to see what the music was, but he just looks so familiar. So anyway, that's who he was. Thank you, BP. Appreciate you so very much. Anyway, you guys, it's been a while. I'm so used to doing it Monday, Wednesdays, and Friday. Just when I'm doing it on a Friday, it's just so different. So I'm going to leave you like I always leave you. Oh, it's very low. Let's do that again. We'll do that one again. Turn it up a little bit. And someone smiles today. Let your smile change the world, but don't let the world change your smile. And it's going to try to. It will try to. I promise you that. And I think that when I say that, it's like, let's see if Dina can handle her own words. We're going to give her a little bit of right in the gut today and see if she's still going to smile. We're going to have a golf ball hit her windshield and see if she's still going to smile. I about had a heart attack, but, you know, I thought I was being in a war. Boom, boom, boom. I'm like, what the hell is going on? So anyway, don't let it change your smile. Take a deep breath and you'll be able to get through it. I promise you. And then at the end of the day, when you're in your safe spot, you can be like, oh, I made it. I made it through this day. It's okay. I can do it. So, and again, the word of the day was vulnerable. So learn to be a little bit vulnerable. It is scary. But when you surround yourself with people that you can trust, and there will always be that person that hurts you or whatever, you got to get past that and learn to be vulnerable and put yourself, your real self out there and be the person that you want to be. All right. I love you. That's all I'm going to say. I'll leave you with that. I will be back with Tuttles on Thursday. Bam Bam. I always call him Bam Bam. That's who I'm talking about. We will be back on Thursday with the movie and then next Friday. So love you guys. Bye. 1, 2, 3, 4. Thank Thank you, Jay. Thank you, Bam Bam. Thank you, FU, BDDWG. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, VP. Love you guys.